Welcome to another episode of Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Aguirre, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped to get off. And so has my guest this week. We have Javon Joseph, who is also known by his porn name, Daddy Cream. He is a, my God, porn star, content creator, podcaster, author, writer, entertainer, altogether entrepreneur. How are you, sir?
Thank you. What an introduction. I appreciate you.
No problem.
I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day in LA.
It's a very beautiful day.
I'm healthy, so I can't complain.
Yeah. So I've been following you on Twitter. We've worked together once before. I think I had not known of you beforehand, but Max would always rave about you. So he's like, hey, he's in town. And I was like, oh, okay, I'd like to work with him. Let's see if we can put something together. And it was the day of the verdict for
George Floyd.
George Floyd. Yeah, that was crazy. Because there was a lot of emotion, but we also, we had a scene with Drew Dixon, and it got done. And it was, it was good. And it was the cover of the movie that I made at that point. I think it was called Fuckboy Dick Down or something. I don't know if you were.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
The, yeah, I'll show
made
it
the cover.
You. Hey. Yeah, well, you're Dick Down. I think your face is in it like a little bit from above, but it's mostly your dick and
his ass.
And his ass
makes
here.
Sense.
So, yeah, so I had been following your Twitter, as I do with a lot of performers that I work with. And, you know, you had a podcast going and I was like, all right, awesome. And then you were writing a book and I went on the other day and I think I saw you. I'm not sure how I found out that you were going to be here. I went on your page, I hit you up, and then I saw your book and I was like, you know what? Let me pick it up. If we do this podcast, I'd like to know what you're promoting, who you are, a little bit more about you. And
I
it definitely gave
that.
Me more. I gotta show everybody. So the truth behind it all, Javon Joseph, it's a good book. It's a good book. It's
Thank
a good
you.
Read.
You can
it's,
get it anywhere books are sold, by the way.
There you go. So. Do it. I have questions. I wrote them down. I read it on the plane but there was like insane turbulence. So I couldn't really concentrate too much to like hold on to it. I mean, I know there's plenty of stuff I still remember, but it was one of those moments where the woman behind us was having a panic attack and the little kid in front of us was like, are we going to die, mommy? Like it was one of those moments.
Oh, you were going through.
Oh yeah.
No,
we were going.
Jeez.
I had a text ready for my boyfriend to be like, hey, look, if anything happens,
this is,
And I'm, you know what, I know I'm glad too. I'm perfectly, whenever I fly to places, I'm perfectly okay with putting my hands, like you're putting your hands in someone else,
I know.
The pilot and stuff. Yeah. And granted they're trained professionals, but you just never know what's going to happen.
Please, a trained professional.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Don't get
exactly.
me started on that.
No, exactly. Oh, no, we can go.
Yeah, okay.
So, first and foremost, when you were writing this book, what made you write this book?
For this particular book, I wanted to give my fans who only saw me as Daddy Cream a more insight as to who I am as a person, why I might have started, you know, doing porn, how Daddy Cream got started, just really the things that made me who I was at this point when that book came out.
And you say this book because you were already put together another book.
Yes, my second book is coming out.
But it's not autobiographical, it's more...
It is going to be, yes, it's going to fall along into... it's Javon Joseph, Life After Marriage, so it does follow along with... Javon Joseph, The Truth Behind It All. This one is just more so how my life, that one is more so how my life changed once I got married.
Which is how you ended the first book, right?
Correct.
You were in a new relationship.
Correct. Happily married.
Yeah.
Happily
so married. Let's, you know, The Truth Behind It All, let's get behind some of it. And,
okay,
and,
please.
And like I said, you know, I want viewers and I want people to pick it up because A, the support, but also knowing this aspect of you or this side of you is really important.
Thank you.
Because we're not all just big dicks and big asses and, you know,
we're people.
Exactly.
We're human
there's
beings.
A little more than that.
Yeah.
Where did the name, and it's in the book, but Daddy Cream. Cash rules everything around me.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So I was going to be a dad at the time. You got to kind of go into the whole story to get the Daddy Cream. So I was going to start porn, but my daughter was going to be born. I know that sounds so weird in the same sentence, but my daughter, I was going to be a father And so that's where the daddy part came. And then Cream, me and my friends always said cash rules everything around me, you know, throughout high school. However, when you put it in with the daddy context, like daddy Cream, you know, I also cream a lot. So it was just kind of like a, I don't know, like a perfect mix. I don't know even
it
how worked,
it all worked it. Well it, together.
Yeah.
So we'll go back. California, you grew up in Northern California.
I did.
You spent a good amount of time between San Jose?
Yep, correct.
San Jose and San Francisco.
San Jose and Sacramento.
And Sacramento. Mm-hmm. What was your child life like? I know that you said you were a mama's boy.
I was.
So
for up to a point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was growing up like?
People would think it was great, but I feel like I was a lost child. I was really confused. I just didn't really have the correct, I would ask questions and I wouldn't get, I mean, I now that I'm older, I understand they wouldn't give me valid answers based on my age and stuff, but I wouldn't get the answers that I needed. So I just feel like I was very rebellious growing up and I was out in the streets, especially going into high school. That's where I really went left, but childhood was great, honestly. I was raised pretty much by my grandmother. For the most part, my mom was always around, but my grandmother was the one who, not to shade my mom, but that at that time I can depend on, I felt like emotionally, physically, however. But
I understand your relationship with your mom, but I have this overwhelming need to kind of validate both points. Your mom wasn't a young mother.
Very much so.
And she had three kids, three different dads, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider that anything more than, there's a lot of people out there that are looking for the right thing and sometimes the right thing doesn't come for them.
Right.
And it's rough. It's rough when you try to like navigate that. So I try to look at it from that angle as well. Like I don't, what is your relationship with your mother like now?
Incredible.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We have grown so much. My mom is my everything. Okay. I can depend on my mom for anything. She can depend on me and I'll pick up the phone. We can have conversations, like an hour long conversation, mm-hmm. just about life. And we've just grown so much and I've seen her growth and
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. She's grown so much. And now that I have my baby mama drama and, you know, my daughter's going to be 12 and I just turned 30. So I can't imagine having three kids at the age of 30. My mom had two kids by the age of 21. Mm-hmm. So she grew up with both me and my older sister. So there's no fault for her and the way she, you know,
yeah,
she raised
I think
me.
It's overwhelming. I think, and that's me. I'm what, 12 years old. I'm 12 years older than you now.
Okay.
I'm going to be 12 years older. That's, like, I think about that. I think about how young, like, because even if I want to have a kid now, like, you have to be prepared for all that mm-hmm. stuff. Having to not only take care of yourself and find out who you are. And remember, we're in our 20s and we want to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you guys have been able to have that growth because, because a lot of times people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not open.
They hold on to that resentment or whatever they, you know, went through their trauma and. Me and my mom, we've been through some things, but that's my mom.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to know how you felt about that because it did come off as, you were rebellious. And I can understand this. Here's this woman that, you know, if you're a mama's boy, she's your mom and she gets married or she gets remarried and
married first time.
Okay. So married, right? Mm-hmm. So she marries this guy who's your stepdad.
Correct.
What is your relationship like with your stepdad now?
Incredible as well. He'll pick up the phone, call me, see how I'm doing as well. So yeah, it's definitely much. I know in the book it was rocky and stuff, but I think as I've gotten older, I myself have changed and I've matured a lot, and I've been able to respect what they were trying to teach me, and I was just not trying to respect it at that time. Mm-hmm. So
it's rough, especially when you grow up seeing other families and you kind of, we have this thing where we need to compare ourselves with what's going on around us. And I think you had mentioned how you would see other families and you didn't have that same dynamic. You didn't have that same nucleus. A lot of people don't. You touch on it briefly in the book, but what was your experience like growing up biracial?
It was rough. It was. I was picked on. I was called. People didn't think I was black, really. And so it was. And younger, I feel like I was a little bit more light skinned than I know my skin is very light, but I was maybe more light skinned when I was younger. And I just feel like people would always, you know, I don't even know why in elementary school we're having these conversations, mm-hmm. like, what are you or something. But yeah, it was just one of those things where they didn't believe I was black or had black in me or whatever. So
was it that important to them? I mean, I know you can't speak for them, but where did you grow up? Primarily in a black neighborhood, or?
So San Jose is more so like Asians and Mexicans. You got your whites and your blacks as well, but it's more so like that diverse. And when I went to Sacramento, that was where it was a more dominant black community.
Okay.
And even in high school, I was still getting, you know, those. But when I was in Sacramento, it was, they kind of got it more. Like it was less than when I was around people who weren't black.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't the black people saying I wasn't black. It was the other people.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. I've met some people that have had experience where they don't fit in either place, where black people will kind of pick on them because they're not black enough, and white people will pick on them because they're not white enough, you know? Like, so I was curious.
I mean, in the black community, we joke around and with our skin tones and stuff, but yeah, it's different when it's coming from the perspective that you're saying. But
yeah. Meeting your dad. Mm. You met your dad when you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your choice? Like you consciously went out and you looked for him.
So I had knew of him.
Okay.
So my dad is a professional arena football player. And so I would go to his games, and like, I knew that he was an possibility to be my father. Cause I, like I said, I would ask questions and I didn't get answers. So I grew up thinking that I had two dads, or thinking that one dad was my dad, but knowing that I had another dad kind of thing. So, no, I didn't go out looking for him. There was times throughout, you know, when I was growing up, I would search for him or go see what he was up to, maybe, you know, his football career or something. But, when I met him, we were literally just randomly in Starbucks, and he was reading a book, and I was with my baby's mom, and we were walking out, and I told her, I was like, Brittany, that's my dad. And she was like, dude, you're fucking tripping. Like, that's not your dad. Like, you know, how's your dad? Because she knows me. That's my best friend. How's your dad randomly here? I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that's my dad. And so I walked up to him, and the moment I walked up to him, he just knew that I was his son. And it was just one of those, ever since then, yeah. I mean, we've had a rocky relationship, too, ever since then. But now we're good, but I wanted more, and he felt I was too old and I already had my own life and my own kid to worry about. So
you would say you're in a good place with him?
Yeah, we're okay. In a good place for sure.
Different lives, but
absolutely. Okay. He'll check in every blue moon or something. There's no hate or anything. Cool. Yeah.
Well, good. That's another thing that a lot of people don't get a lot to do. Like I feel like it's not necessarily closure, but definitely the deeper understanding of things that will mold you into who you are. Mm-hmm. And especially if you had all those thoughts in your head, like, you know, does he not want to know me? Does he not want anything to do with me? And then you get to find out. I don't think it's too premature to talk about your grandmother. I want to talk about her because she was a big part of your life.
Thank you.
And that part was really, really heart-wrenching.
I'm glad it touched you.
Yeah, no, for real. And granted, you know, it was high emotion on the plane.
I wanted to take it there. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but that just added to it. The idea of, you know, you guys were heading out somewhere.
I was going to Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Six Flags with my baby's mom at the time. And I knew my grandma was sick. Mm-hmm. I knew she was sick. So I knew, like, that particular call was going to be coming, but... were you trying to like go into how I found out she was sick?
Or? Well, more like that's you know, a little bit. I may have jumped the gun a little bit, but I do want to know a little bit about your mom, your grandmother. You speak about her in the book very highly.
Mm.
What was it like growing up with your grandmother?
care. She cared so much. She just loved so much. It was just unconditional. Just something that I'll never get that back. Mm-hmm. I know I'll never get that back. But it was great. She would, you know, she just wanted me and my sister to have the best childhoods as possible. And we didn't live in a bad area or anything. We were able to walk to our schools and it was nice. She wanted me to be active. So she would take me to the Boys and Girls Club. She'd take me to, you know, she'd do her laundry on Sunday mornings, come home with McDonald's for me or for me and my sister. And like, just really did what a grandma was supposed to do, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
You talk about being active. She took you to Boys and Girls Club. You were active, or you could have been more active in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's one thing that you said. I'm not sure if you used the word regret, but there was...
I do, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret a lot of things. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you missed it, but the reason why was one of the things that I was like, wow, okay, so...
Relatable, probably.
Well, no, I was definitely not. I was not athletic. I knew that from the start. Okay. I knew that I was very different, and I was more intimidated by athletes at that point because they knew that I was gay. I came out in high school. I was like 15.
Okay.
So even as a kid, they would call me names and pick on me and shit. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and have a sob story. It made me stronger.
Period.
Right? Yeah. And most of them peaked in high school anyway. So it's
okay. Right. Okay.
I'm not being shady or anything, but I'm always like, oh, I wonder how this person's doing. I'm like, oh wow. He let himself go.
Yeah. You know? And I hate to see those, but yeah, it happens.
No, I know.
Just be glad you're not one of them.
Exactly. And the only thing that kind of gives me that little bit of like, huh, is because of how awful they were as kids. But kids can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, because I was mean too. Because when you get picked on, you know, you become a bully as well.
My daughter's going through this phase right now with her kids with her friends at school, and she's going into the seventh grade, and she's told me for the first time like she wants to fight. And so I get
Wow, really? Okay. Yeah. Damn, that's right. Like you have a walking around talking
human little me.
Yeah, isn't it? That you all put together.
I know.
So before we get to your daughter, let's talk about why you didn't do sports.
Okay, so yes. So freshman year when I moved to Sacramento, I feel like I was really attracted, and even still to this day, like I am mostly attracted to, you know, black guys. But going to Sacramento, it was just a culture change, and I felt like I didn't want to get my dick hard in the gym or in the locker room. Like I knew if I saw somebody attractive, I would get my dick hard. But little do I know now that I'm older, like all that was going on, you know, like that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But I do wish that I would have done it, because I'm sure my life, even if I would have been in sports, I probably wouldn't have been doing those things in the streets that I was doing. So, but every God has a plan.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whatever avenue he has, I'm going.
You came out in high school.
I did.
Okay. You came out as bi.
I did.
And you've been sexual in general, right? Like it's not just when you
very
say bi.
Sex positive.
Yeah. when you say bi, you really did like having sex with girls and sex with boys.
I
or
did.
Sex with guys and girls.
Up to a point with girls. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. What was being bisexual like in high school?
Really fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Cool. I felt like that's where I gained a lot of my, I didn't really get like, I'm not going to say big headed confidence, but like know who I am confidence until like maybe 25, 26, when I was like, damn, I'm that person. But like 18 or 16, 17, you know, knowing that the guys wanted to hang with me because that I had the girls, but then like, the girls, like, they all wanted me, but then the boys also, you know, the DL boys and stuff. So it was just, I had my picks and my choosing. So it was a fun time.
I was going to say, did you ever get people that, you did that one, and I don't want, like I said, I don't want to give away too much of the book.
Celebrity.
But, well, celebrity, ooh, girl. Wait, hold on.
I thought you were taking it there.
If you want to go there, fuck. I was like, wait a minute, who? I love hearing about... I love hearing about the celebrities and the NDAs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you have?
I won't say I've signed an NDA, no.
Okay.
But I've definitely, in high school, there was a person that I definitely had a threesome with, and he's a well-known actor now, and he's still fine as hell. Like, he's really? One of, yeah, and he's Damn. Doing, he did well for himself, so, okay. you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
There was a time.
Yeah, he was a football player.
He was a football player.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Was. Not was. Necessarily now.
Yeah, no.
but yeah. Okay, yeah. We don't. I'm not in the business of outing people or anything like that.
That's why it's, in the book yeah. I respected it. Yeah. I'm not looking for clout. I'm not messy. For people who know, they know. Because in high school, it was a thing. People, it was like, it was a thing in high school. So.
What about people, not necessarily him, not necessarily celebrities, but did you get people that, only you knew and only he knew in situations in high school.
It wasn't a continuous thing. It was like that one time thing.
Oh, no, I mean, but like other people, like other guys.
So ask the question again.
So other guys in high school that nobody had any idea, but you were like, oh, okay.
Kinda, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they would Absolutely. Come to you and just.
It would just be like, you want to kick it, you want to smoke, and like one thing would just lead. Actually, they'd always. In Sacramento, they'd always be like, oh, you got bitches, huh? Like, you got all the bitches, huh? Like, that was their way. And then, like, when you don't have no bitch, like, because I wasn't trying to get no bitch because I really wanted to mess with him, then they, you know, they start to, their mind starts to wander. Mm. And that's when they start to. And I've been in situations where I've been drunk or something, and that's when the dude might be like, oh, you know, I used to be bi or something. And it's like, oh, for real? Like, you used to
yeah,
be
yeah. Like, not anymore, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And you already have your hand on his dick or Thank you love you. Vice versa.
Already dick in the mouth. Like, okay.
You were out in high school, but you talk a little bit about how hard it was for you, that text message.
My mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were, yeah.
Yeah, what was, you do go into detail about how it feels and you kind of just get into the moment. But that's something every gay person always has that. Unless you grew up, you know, where they knew you were gay at 6 or 7.
Right.
And they were kind of like waiting for it, but right. She was not waiting for that.
I don't think she was waiting for it at all.
So it was shocking.
I think for her, it was, I think maybe she, now that I'm older and the way she's like maybe tried to explain it to me, is she was literally just asking me a question like, son, are you gay? But then when we went into the whole spiel and we were trying to have the conversation, and she, you know, I was like, I'm not sure or whatever, and she was just like, I felt bad because she was doubting herself by asking me questions like, oh, is it the way I raised you or something? And that's what shielded me more, because I didn't want her to feel like she failed as a parent, mm-hmm. based on me, because I had had that feeling my whole life. I had always been somewhat attracted to guys. Like, you don't wake up one day and become gay, I feel.
Yeah, just, you don't.
It's just there.
You're so. Absolutely right. It's a big thing, especially if you are that close to your mom. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very big thing. You go through a phase in high school and you end up in juvie.
What was
juvenile detention center. For stealing cars and for stealing,
you were robbing just, houses,
yeah,
doing what? Stupid shit.
Just because, or was it just?
Maybe my peers,
okay.
people I was around. I didn't have like I would ask mom for a yearbook or something, and it wouldn't get given to me or whatever. So I just felt like it was my way of lashing out. It was mm-hmm. my way of. Satisfying whatever I would desire I was missing, and I didn't care about anybody else or anybody's anything at that point. High school, I look back now and I'm just like, I was such a different person back then. It's just so crazy to see, like, and then when you're in high school, you hear people say, oh, when you're 30 or whatever, when you get older, you're going to change. You're going to be a different person. You're like, how is that possible?
Mm. Oh, I'm going to be me forever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then you get older and you're like, wow, you really have changed. Yeah. You have evolved.
Oh,
so.
Man. And we're till 40 kicks. It's like a different, it's like, oh, I don't
I'm
really,
ride out my 30s like, right
yeah,
now.
No, do it. Do it. Because I did too. But then there are definitely things that, like, even here, I came out and I was like, you know what? I don't really need to go out every single fucking night I'm here. Mm. I don't want to wake up with a foggy brain. Mm. I don't want to do, like, I got to get shit done.
Yeah. You know,
like,
you got to work.
Yeah. And you understand that.
Yeah.
You hustle and you do it, but in the most positive sense of the way. You got to get shit done.
Absolutely.
And I feel like we're in a business that you do that, but then there are people who don't know how to do that. Mm.
So yes, Juvie really shaped me. I feel it really got me to get it together, because I turned 18 in juvenile hall, mm-hmm. and I knew there was no coming back to juvenile hall. I was going to be with the big boys, and my daughter was going to be born, and it definitely shaped me. And I'm glad that at the time I didn't understand why my mom wasn't willing to take me back home or whatever, but I'm glad that she put me through that experience, so I got my life on track. Mm. Very much thankful for that.
After that, your daughter's born.
Yeah. While I'm in juvie, I find out my grandma has a tumor. Yes. And she's diagnosed with cancer.
And then when your daughter's born, one of the first things you do is take your daughter to meet your grandma.
The very first day, the very first time my daughter leaves the hospital, my grandma was at a hospital nearby, and I brought her right over. And yeah, it was a great thing. It was a great day. I got to find that picture, because I don't know where that picture is, but my grandma held her, and yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, sure. No, I got really invested in your life.
Yeah.
Because the book doesn't come off grandiose. The book doesn't come off unreachable to people. Because a lot of times I feel like people, you know, people try to glamorize certain things. Mm-hmm. And there's glamour, but you can absolutely, like, I had only met you once before, but you can get that sense of, okay, yeah, no, I can totally see him doing this. Okay, yeah, I can totally see, okay, this is who he is, you know, like shit like that.
Yeah,
but it makes you who you are, you know? And sure. the fact that you can be so open about so many things, mm-hmm. In particular, when you start getting into porn, you fly out to Florida. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you mentioned the name of the studio. We don't have to mention the name of the studio. But
I don't even think that studio is still even in existence.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't what it... I didn't... So Daddy Cream is now a well-established, probably legendary name that a lot of people are going to, at least in my... in our genre of age, mm-hmm. and stuff, that a lot of people are going to remember, or that people steal to this day and go and jack off. I didn't go into porn like wanting that. Mm-hmm. My first porn experience, I went and I was like, dude, you need a fucking check. Like, your daughter's about to be born. You need a check, and you need to, let's have sex. You know, I was young. I was 18. I was like, literally, I was still supposed to be a senior in high school. Like, I was still a senior in high school, which is weird to even think that I was doing porn. And, you know, but I hated that company. I hated them, the way that they operated. It was all a facade. They basically lied and played young models like me for their gain. And, you know, as a young model, I didn't know that. But the more you surround yourself and you get more familiar with the industry, you understand things more, and even pay, the more you get to establish yourself or something, they can tell you a price, but if you feel you're established enough, you should be able to negotiate something. Like, don't settle for what there's, you know, I mean, but at a young age, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I think at a young age, you're just like, oh, hey, I'm happy to be doing this.
Give it all to me.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So you come back, disappointed with your experience with, in Florida, right? You have to find your way back because this dick doesn't pay for your way back.
Yeah.
Cause you get into an argument or a disagreement with him. But then you find your way back to him.
I do, like about a year later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Had you done anything between then?
If I did, it was maybe one shoot.
Okay.
Maybe not, but there's a possibility, yeah.
Is it cool if we talk about, it's in your book, and if you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to. But you say you go back, and you do a shoot, and you contract HIV.
Mm,
mm-hmm. Is it on that set?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
It's not on set. It was something foolish of me that happened in like the spare moment type of thing, and it literally, like in the book, I said it was like less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's such a fraction of time.
Yeah,
but your life
changed forever.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I absolutely love, because I've been doing this since 2007. When it comes to behind the scenes, I've maybe once had to have a very uncomfortable conversation, because as you mentioned in the book, a lot of studios do not, they ask status. You're not technically supposed to ask status. But there are ways of asking questions that usually models will be like, oh yeah, well this is, I'm on prep, or I'm this, or I'm that. But they most certainly do not offer testing.
Mm.
So that's one thing that you do mention in the book is, hey, when they say this,
they say they want proof of, and this is probably going to be educational for people, just because
all of this,
if I'm coming in as negative and you're coming in as positive, but in my mind, I did have my negative test and I just showed that negative test, but then that positive person just told that director or whatever, like, I'm positive. And the director just didn't really consider or take like care. It's just a fucked up thing just because they want that shoot. And,
yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't on set.
When I say that uncomfortable talk I had, it was a studio that no longer exists, but he definitely, I don't think it was malicious. He was just very ignorant when it came to stuff. Like, he didn't know the ins and outs. He had just started and, the models got to talking, and then all of a sudden one of them came and was like, oh, I just found out he's positive and I'm not. And I remember I was ready to leave that job if he came back positive because of that experience, because I can't even imagine that like the scenario was so uncomfortable at that point. And then, you know what? It was fine. He came back negative. And then he's like, hey, any more work? And I was just like, oh wow, that was quick. Like you really didn't think about this, but you have this, you talk about sex positivity and just, knowing everything about you, knowing your status, knowing like the fact that if you are on medication, you are not going to be able to transmit anything. And it's hardly in your system. They're latent at this point.
You can live a long, healthy life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's no different now than
diabetes,
any other. Yeah.
And I compare it to that.
And the only thing that I think makes a difference is that people associate it as something dirty because of sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the whole,
or drug use.
It's exactly. Yeah. But it's all the negative sexual stigma that the world tries to put out there. And that's why I don't give a fuck about the world's perception about none of that. I'm going to continue to talk about HIV and because there's somebody at home right now who is crying and devastated that they just found out that they're positive. But they need to know that your life is going to go on, and in a positive way, your life is going to go on. If I could sit here and talk about all the ways that I can try and uplift somebody, I would, but HIV really is just another disease that, unfortunately, like you said, is linked to a bad sexual stigma. But at the end of the day, every single person has sex. So they just try to deem it as a bad thing based on their own perception.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it gets into the hands of like the religious fanatic right and shit like that. It gets really, really crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I don't touch those.
Yeah.
I'm spiritual and I have my God, but it's all that. My God loves me and accepts me. He made me. So I don't do all that. I'm gay and I'm going to be worried about if he's going to, I don't have time for that.
You've worked at a lot of studios. You've had a lot of different experiences. What else do you want to add in like the coming years and stuff? What else do you want to add to who you are? Who not only Javon Joseph, but Daddy Cream? Like,
so I'm going to continue to evolve. Hopefully, you guys will be able to see me on a more consistent basis, not necessarily on a sexual consistent basis, but like, you know, a real everyday kind of situation. Maybe touching on like reality TV or something. My daughter's about to be 12, so I'm really just trying to really focus on making sure that she doesn't go through what I went through in high school, and I want to get remarried, and I want to, you know, evolve. Daddy Cream, I don't know how long Daddy Cream will be going on, because I don't want to be that person who's married, and, you know, and it's no shade to anybody who is or anything, but I personally don't want to be still doing adult film and in a committed relationship. So don't know how long that will be going on, but Daddy Cream is alive. So
yeah. And your next book, you've started putting all the pieces together. It's done, right?
Yes, it's in production as we speak. So,
and it's more focused on your marriage,
the marriage, baby mama drama. That's really the two most talked about subjects.
Okay. You had a baby with your best friend. It's in the book. I want people to really take that in for itself. So I will highlight on it. Mm-hmm. Had a baby with your friend.
Yes.
For the most part, it was a good relationship until you started doing, until you got into the adult.
Like young 20s. No.
Okay.
Well, young 20s.
Okay. And that was predominantly, well, she was more the lovey type, right? She wanted the relationship for love, or the marriage for love, right?
To an extent, but then after a while we had an understanding, and there was gone. She was doing her own thing, but in my eyes I felt like there was still like a leech going on. Like she was still attached to anything that I had going on.
Okay.
And that would, you know, that would frustrate me, because I'm like, I'm so independent and you're so dependent, and like, it's just not going to work.
And it wasn't you. It's not you.
I'm not going to say it wasn't me, but you know, cause I it's never one sided, but
I don't mean like it's not your fault, but I'm saying like, it wasn't you, like who you were.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Cause I used to watch gay porn when I would have sex with her.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool too. I was like, wow, okay. And then she would be okay with you, like if you guys were to get married,
she would have been okay with like with us being married, but then me still having sex with boys, like based on, you know, those conversations. We were very open and we were best friends. So
the continuation of the next book is going to be, and you do mention it a little bit in the book, about how difficult it is when you're fighting for your child. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily fighting for custody, right? You got.
I am at this.
Oh, you are.
Yeah,
okay.
At this time, it's an ugly situation. Okay. So yeah, it's all in the book. I'll say that the first book, I had everything, and the second book, I lost everything.
Okay, and so. Even the marriage?
Even the marriage.
Get the hell out of here. Okay, I thought, okay. So when did that happen? Is that recent?
Where are we at now? We're in March 2022. We filed in December 2020, and it was finalized June of 2021.
Amicable?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
Are you good? Okay, so you're good. You're in a good spot with that. So you're going to talk about what it was like the marriage, like what it was,
oh,
that experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right. Just good, bad, ugly, all of it.
All of it. Okay. All of it. It's, and I'm sure there's a few things maybe that are left out, but it's going to get real. This one is, it's, I don't know. It's very, in your face.
Okay.
Like I'm going to tell you about all my experiences, from verbal abuse to domestic violence to anything else that might have occurred. So
when do you think people,
before summertime?
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Damn,
before
okay.
Summertime.
You don't fall around.
That's the goal. No. Yeah. And the way I'm coming out with this one is going to be like a Kylie Jenner type of rollout. Like it's going to come out in a book, in a box type of situation where, it's like a goodie box kind of thing. And I'm also going to be providing like bookmarks and so forth. So I'm excited about okay. that as well.
All right. I will pick that one up as Thank well. You. And then yeah. for the next season, we can do that. But I also want to know, okay, so you also have a podcast as well. Tell I us do. A little bit about your podcast. This is where I want you to tell people when people are looking for you, where, everywhere, where can they find you?
Yes, anywhere. Google me.
Yeah.
To be honest, I've been probably since maybe January, since I worked on my podcast, I've just been... It was a lot of baby mama drama in during February, very stressful. I couldn't operate the way I needed to. So I have my podcast. It's on Spotify, Javon Joseph, The Truth Behind It All. But there's also Daddy Cream, all things sex with Daddy Cream. So The Truth Behind It All, I was trying to give a more touch base on, you know, everyday topics or things that are current in my life, you know, current life events and so forth. And then all things sex with Daddy Cream, that's very sexual. You know, I would talk about sex and obviously, you know, my sexual experiences and so forth. And yeah, I do plan on getting back into that. So for those who are listening, it'll yeah, be, you know,
do it. It's, yeah. it's fun and it gives people, it's work. Let's not.
It is work. It is.
But it's
especially
it's,
if you don't have a team, like Jesus.
Yeah. I'm fortunate that Champs let me stay here and operate out of here. But yeah, it's sometimes it could be a dog and pony show where you're constantly lugging stuff around and just trying to get shit done. Other than the podcast, the book. Where on what's your Twitter handle? Are you on OnlyFans? Stuff like that. Let's give people an entire.
Thank you. Overview. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. So Instagram is Javon_Joseph_. My Twitter is /DaddyCream, but the cream is CREAA 3Ms. And my Spotify, Javon Joseph. OnlyFans, Daddy Cream, just regular Daddy and Cream, no special A's or M's. Yeah. Am I missing it? I would say JavonJoseph.com, but I'm getting that back up. It's expired, so I gotta, you know, process that again. But that'll be. I have a link tree.
I have a link tree,
so it's all there on the link tree. Okay.
The link tree is on Twitter.
It's on Twitter and my Instagram. So okay. Yeah, and all you right. can get that'll lead you to the book, to the porn, to the
hold that back up.
Whatever you want to do.
It's you know I've. This season, I've been interviewing a couple of people, and absolutely, like you're the second author I've interviewed, and I enjoy that. I like the fact that you are, like we said in the beginning, you're more than just a sexual object,
right?
For people, you are out there, and you're doing things, and.
I am a awesome. Human being. Yeah. I am a human being.
Yeah.
I love to be a sexual fantasy for people and give people that sexual desire. But if like, just treat me like I'm human, you know?
Yeah.
Just treat me like I'm a fucking person.
Sweet. So. Look, I'm going to do a really quick shout out to the podcast just so people know.
For sure.
They are listening to Demystifying Gay Porn. We are on every podcast directory on YouTube. Facebook, Twitter. TikTok, Instagram. TikTok's interesting.
Do I got you nervous?
No. No, I already met you. Actually, you know, I did think about that too. Because before, like I said, I walked in not knowing who you were. And then now I'm like, okay, you know, I read his book and I know a little more about him and shit. All right, guys. So this is Daddy Cream, Javon Joseph. My name is Ike Grande. And if you watch gay porn, I've helped you get off. He's helped you get off.
Yes.
Just get off. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.